All right, that seems to be running, so we're good.
Good
this
enough.
is a meeting of the Danville Development Review Board. Today is 19 February 2025. We have one permit on our agenda tonight, 2025-01 for the Segal Living Trust, and Jules Chateau is representing that or presenting that. I am the chair, Brian Henderson. We have Wes Standish on the board, Mickey Bullock on the board, Terry. Thank you. I'm getting old.
I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I'm grinning on that one.
Larry Rossi and Bruce Palmer on the board. So we do have a quorum, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us on the quorum. So this is again for the Segal Living Trust, and we also have our zoning officer joining us as usual. Dennis Marquise. This is 366 North Shore Road in West Danville. The zoning district is MDR2 with developed shoreland overlay. The project description is add a 474 square foot addition consisting of a ground floor bedroom, bath, suite with new entry and laundry room. So the applicant seeks a waiver for section 531.4, 1,500 square foot maximum building footprint, and section 531.4, 20% maximum impervious coverage. And what he's asking for is combined building footprint is 1,800 square feet, more or less. And then the impermeable surface area is 2,852 square feet, which is 25% of the lot size. So we can start from there. So we received shoreland permitting, draft permit. What's the status of that? Do you have any?
It's in draft form now. The actual public comments close, I think, tomorrow or the 21st. So expected to be final after that.
Okay. So is that standard to issue a draft permit when you submit an application?
Yeah.
And then they rule on that at the end, regardless of whether it's submitted or not?
Right. There's the first step is whether it's administratively complete, whether everything
yes.
is there. And then technical review, that happened. Anyway, that's been completed. The only issue they had was the depth of infiltration trenches that we had proposed. Incorporated that change. And then 30 days of public comment, and that should end tomorrow.
So just to jump ahead to the infiltration trenches, you had those at 18 inches deep, I think it was?
Yes.
And they wanted it deeper, or that was good
yes.
enough?
I had initially proposed 8 inches deep. But there's a formula that I didn't meet. It had to be deeper. It could either have been longer, wider, but the alternative was to make it deeper. And where we've shown that.
Would you mind pulling that somewhere out here, maybe?
Yes. And I've also got some of the same material handouts that I can.
Didn't mean to exclude you.
We've seen it, yeah. So, just for the record, that Jules Chateau is presenting this permit to us, if I didn't mention that before. And on a little side note, Jules, I used to do this a lot, and I found that when I print drawings or convert them to PDF, if you do a really low resolution, they come out clearer. Yours are really fuzzy and they're really hard to read.
Well, right. The
like a 300 or less resolution was what I used to use.
Oh, yeah. Well, there is a version of 600 dots per inch, but it was actually a request from the state to do this.
Interesting.
Apparently it's me. I'm an old dinosaur drawing by hand.
Yeah, you're not alone. Yeah.
Some of the initial questions had to do with what really is the setback from the road, and I think I've captured here what the bylaws say is to measure 25 feet from the center line of the road. And by the way, the North Shore Road, Town Highway 106 is a public road. This, which is more commonly used, has more traffic on it probably, is a private drive that was meant to serve. There's four or five camps further at the end of North Shore. Mm-hmm. The entire site is under a quarter acre.
11,380 square feet.
Right.
0.26 acres.
Right. The entire site is within the
shoreline protection
area. What we're proposing, as you said, Brian, is a bedroom and bath suite here. Expanding the laundry and kitchen on this side and between them a new entrance. And if you look on the handouts, I've also got, if you're interested, floor plans and elevations, just if there was any question about the height of what we're proposing. This is actually a three-story a camp that goes back, I think, to the 20s or something like that, wood frame camp. This is the current footprint, and I've highlighted in yellow here what we're proposing to add. The pink color are new impervious areas, a small patio outside the bedroom, and a walk. This existing drive won't be changed, but the overall aim of the project is to make the building more friendly, more accessible, because right now in all the bedrooms are upstairs and require use of stairs, and they're not particularly friendly stairs either. Very steep and narrow. So that's really the driving impetus here, is to get a bedroom on the ground floor. And
so where's your remediation, that drip line trench?
Oh, yeah.
Is that on the north and the east side there?
Right.
Right there?
Right.
On two sides of the building?
Yeah, it's the dotted L shape there. I was limited in how wide I could make it, or I didn't want to make it awfully wide, but this is a hip roof, much like the main roof. If you look on the back of your handouts, there's an elevation of the existing camp. It's all about hip-shaped roofs. So we're continuing that with a single level roof over the proposed new addition. And so naturally, that's going to concentrate a lot of rain flow, stormwater. So that's the reason the infiltration trench is where it is, to intercept, slow down that roof.
Would you put it on the other side of the building also?
You mean the
infiltration?
Well, no one's asked us to, but yes, we could. I mean, there's no reason it couldn't. This is remarkably steep from here. This is it's really about 14 or 15 feet from here down to the water.
Mm-hmm. And the other side is the left side there is, well, towards the brother's house.
Yeah.
That's pretty steep on that side.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. So that's real steep. In fact, I was over there on skis to put up the poster, the warning poster, and I didn't want to go down that. It was so steep.
I don't think you can put a trench there.
Okay.
I'm
just curious.
The only better place, because of the slopes on this parcel and everything, would be on the other side of the walkway as well, the new walkway, and at the end of the driveway would probably be other acceptable spot for any infiltration. Brian, if that's what you're getting at.
So where's the septic field on that parcel?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was one of my questions, actually, with this new, obviously you're adding a bedroom, right, which would qualify as an addition of design flow in the state of Vermont. Are you notified the DEC, or is this is technically as a camp, so...
Well, right.
What's the septic disturbance?
Well, and in fact, there is it's certainly open to some question, but because in fact the listener's card lists it as a four-bedroom camp, But again, if you look at the floor plans on the back there, there are three bedrooms on the upper floor. There's also two enclosed porches that have been, maybe were screened at one time, now have glass. Neither one of them has a locking door. Neither one does it. If those are definitional for bedrooms. So, and of the three upstairs bedrooms, one is currently being used by the owner as a remote work office. Mm-hmm. I would just
think that might be a question to be approved just triple check with the two DEC that you're not in conflict with any septic permits at this time.
Right.
That will be a question, I think, by the decision. Mm-hmm. It's in the permit that I am issuing.
Right.
And then to get CO, she's going to have to move the septic that either a memorandum or something. Right, it says this is okay.
So. Okay, got it. Yeah, I just wanted to know something about the
right.
Bedroom and the washroom too. Mm-hmm. Now I noticed, like, as far as a building, proper building, not a garage, not a deck, or anything, can't put things actually only 1,012 square feet.
Yes. In fact, I didn't make a distinction. Well, you can see the distinction for stairs and right. Open decks, but these are enclosed porches. But no, that is the footprint. It's impervious footprint.
So, like, if we were to go just by camp, I guess technically is a garage also a footprint. But if we were to go just by camp, right, it'd be 1,012 feet plus the 474, it'd actually be, as you have it in your drawing there in the mm-hmm. table, right, 1486, so less than 1,500 square feet.
Well, then we have to consider the accessory building, which A&R considers that as part of it.
Okay.
Is that your usual practice, Brian? The accessory building is included in the footprint?
That's debatable.
That's the question.
Yes.
Well,
that's
read this as an attorney.
That's a question. We will have to resolve that in our deliberative session. And there's a few other ones here.
And then you got the deck. And I can't remember. Did you say that under the deck it's not obvious?
I didn't count these existing decks as pervious because, in fact, one of them has metal, corrugated metal underneath it. Collects water and shoots it out. So they don't meet A&R's definition of having open and permeable ground surface underneath.
And those are included in your footprint calculation?
In the impervious, yeah. Yes, on that
yes.
Chart.
Okay.
So I guess to summarize that, we're starting with in the impermeable area, 2852, and your remediation, which increased, I saw, from 30-something to 52 feet, right? You added another size on that?
That's the total length. It's 2 foot or 2 foot six or 30 inches wide, but 52 inches long and 18 inches deep.
Right. I think you had a different length on it at one time in this paperwork, or maybe that changed.
I think it's 47 in the draft print,
yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
46 linear
feet. In any event, that totals 130 square feet. So you got 2852 less 130 square feet of remediation, mm-hmm. and you wind up still 2722, which is 24% mm-hmm. coverage on that. So you're still quite a bit over on that.
Right, above the 20%.
Right.
I see.
So here's a wild one. Would you consider removing the barn to get closer to your impermeable area? That's another 330 square feet.
Right. I can't answer that. I can make a suggestion or.
If you remove the barn and your trenches there, you come out at 21%.
Hmm.
And then you may be able to manipulate some of the walkways.
What's the condition of that building?
Oh, it's in good condition.
The barn? The barn. Yeah.
Oh, the barn is. Yeah, it's in good condition. It's It was built in the 20s. It's not
it's not ready to be dragged away.
No. Oh gosh, no. Okay. It's and it's full of stuff. So I don't think it's going to be a welcome idea. They actually don't use it for cars.
It's used I'm sure it's for storage, else. And I'm sure it's full. Right. But that's just another way to look at this.
Yeah. So, Brian, you think it's like adding infiltration trenching or like a rain garden would be a way to decrease that new?
Well, you're getting close, yeah. Take out the barn, take out the trench. If you add some other remediation, you might approach that 20%. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the barn and the existing or the proposed trench there gets you to 21%.
Are you giving it a one for one? Because the calculation for infiltration rate is like a little bit. That's what you were getting at earlier, right? Where so
right.
You do basically, you know, I'm not sure how you do it in Vermont, in Massachusetts and New York, where you do your first flush or like an inch times the amount of impervious surface. And that's what you have to collect as your first recharge. So that's what needs to go into the infiltration trench. Then you're effectively that, even though that. I'm sure, too, the standards of the shoreline permitting folks, even though that's the square footage of that trench is not comparable to the new impervious surface, it recharges all of the impervious surface water that was to be displaced.
Yeah, I don't know. I just went with the square footage that's on this chart. So.
Yeah, so you do.
I can't go further than that myself.
Yeah, well, you would multiply it by the 1.5, right, because of the depth. And then there's a void ratio of the clean wash stone, which is about 30%. And that's how much water it stores.
So that's based on like septic field on the sidewall area?
It's based on infiltration rates of the soil. So basically, they're doing like a one-to-one where you're saying, okay, this water can't infiltrate in that 500 square feet. It's going to go into that trench where it's stored until it will infiltrate. Like that's the theory.
Interesting, yeah.
Right. Am I explaining that
correctly? Well, yes. Yeah. The idea of the infiltration trench is that, right, it simply slows down the water, doesn't mm-hmm. allow it to run off the surface into the lake.
Yeah. So I guess my point is that to using a similar calculation, you could probably fill in the area in between what is now the dotted infiltration trench, the walkway, and also maybe extend it to like the end of the existing driveway. And that might give you a calculation that like is much more friendly to what the impervious surface percentage is.
Yeah, that would be not painful, put it that way, to make that wider.
Yeah, basically, right, you could fill in this area, have like a little rain garden here even, and do like some shrubbery in there and have that trench go all the way to the end of that. That way you're actually catching the additional runoff from the existing impervious surface into the infiltration trench.
Right.
So you get a little bit of
although this drive is sloped back.
Does it slope back?
Yes, okay. Right.
Yeah.
But making or you know filling that gap between the proposed new walk and where that roof strip is now wouldn't be painful at all. And I also I wanted to mention at the beginning, we're not clearing any vegetation here. These trees that are at basically the four corners of the lot are going to be remained. There's no going to be remaining. There's no tree clearing.
Right. This is all going in a cleared space already.
Would the landowner consider any additional planting? That's also a way that
yes, I certainly well. I feel safe saying they'd sooner consider that than taking the barn down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's that new walkway going to – is that just like packed gravel or
– Well, no, or my idea – well, and this has not been detailed, but my idea is that both the patio and this would be – loose laid brick in a sand bed, so it's pervious, pervious to some degree, but
not paved.
I wanted to make a distinction between the driveway, which is paved, and this walkway to the new entrance, and tie it with this patio area.
Right. So even that walkway, you have potential to scratch back some infiltration.
Well, right, and I know that. Well, taken it. I'm not sure. There are highly permeable paver blocks that might be considered short of tearing down the barn. Again.
Well, that's the thing, right? If that was a, you know, you put those pavers over clean wash gravel, then you have another infiltration.
Right. It's effectively, an absorbent surface. Mm-hmm.
Does the state require, Wes, specifications for the trench that we're talking about that's represented by the deadline? So if we were to say, well, you have a certain kind of pavers over the walkway, we're not addressing the requirements of the state for the trench.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it could be, that could be a condition, right? There's actually low impact development guidelines that that Vermont has. I think pervious pavement or pavers is considered in those low impact development guidelines. So you could actually, there's a calculation for all of this that we could do in the back end of this hearing to determine, you know, what's the true percentage.
For the record, you know, local control supersedes the state permit on this, in this case. So, but yes, we could look into that and work on that.
But yeah, there are details, like we would tag that to this project, right? Where the infiltration trench would be, you know, 3/4 inch clean wash gravel. It would have to go in nice, with the geotextile fabric.
Yeah, as much detail as the state has seen is here, is that right? It's a line trench.
Exactly. Yeah. So you line it with geotextile non-woven fabric, and then you just dump stone in there. Actually, it's really effective. It looks really nice, too. This is kind of what I wanted them to incorporate at Marty's, but they weren't actually adding impervious surface. So this is...
Yeah, I wonder what's going on there, but we haven't heard. So.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the same principle.
Yeah. I have nothing further. This sort of comes down to numbers and interpretation of our bylaws. So, anybody else?
Yeah, I have sort of a question. The question in my mind is whether this is appropriate for a waiver rather than a variance. And the different criteria for a waiver and a variance. I want to give you an opportunity just to comment on whether this might or might not fit the criteria for a variance. I have the language from our bylaw here, and maybe I could give it to you if you could just comment on whether you think this project meets those conditions. Would you be willing to do that?
I'll try. I've got to confess, I'm often confused between a waiver and a variance.
You're not alone.
I think you meet most of them, but it's the one that I'm concerned about.
And I did have a bylaw excerpts right here handy if someone wants to.
Having to do with unique physical.
Yeah, it's a different standard than the other one for a waiver. Maybe you can comment on whether there are unique circumstances or conditions, et cetera, size, shape, layout of the land, that make this particularly difficult or maybe militate towards considering a variance.
Right. Honestly,
I hate to put you on the spot here.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not sure I am well qualified to. What is unusual about this lot as you can see, I mean, it's small. It's just over 50 feet at the shoreline, and it's, as I said, it is steep. It's fairly level. You can walk around here, but it is, you need these stairs. And those stairs to get down to the waterfront. Is that a unique situation? It's a hilly site. I'd say generally well drained.
Well, the comment I would like to make is, I know the existing building, and I this is the first time I've seen these plans, but to me, it looks like what you're proposing is going to make it much better than what was there before, even with the extra space, as far as taking care of the drainage and such.
Well, there's also the criteria here under the variance. Is it unreasonably difficult for these folks to develop this property.
But
and
this lot is already developed.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's developed in Joe's Pond, which has a history of irregular lots.
Yes.
Piecemeal building and so forth. That in and of itself can create hardships.
Well, every lot on the lake pretty much is a hardship.
Yeah.
Right. And as I said in my introduction is what's really driving this is accessibility. The continued use of those upstairs bedrooms is a, is at some point it's going to become a hazard for these owners.
How old are these owners?
I'd say mid-60s. Yeah, younger than me.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to give you an opportunity.
Yeah, well, right. I'm not sure I have a reliable opinion on the difference.
Yes. Would they consider reworking part of the existing paved driveway to be something more impervious?
I can't say. It's an asphalt drive. Well, although speaking from the Agency of Natural Resources point of view, they regard compacted gravel as impervious.
Yeah.
So there'd be no gain from at least their point of view whether it's asphalt or not.
Right. You'd have to design. You'd have to install it according to like those those impervious pavement guidelines to qualify.
Right, with a whole different subbase.
Subbase would have to be changed. You know, something that wouldn't compact over time to maintain that volumetric storage.
And those are the lot lines according to the deed. I mean, I looked at the... This part is included with this line.
Right, right.
By deed,
yes. Okay. This, this was only, it was kind of confusing, but by someone named Baxter here, someone, a different Baxter here, they were combined at one point and then sold, and then just to make it more interesting, to two brothers, one brother's here, the other brother is here.
Oh, I just want to make sure of that because there's a little confusion when you look at the tax maps as to which parcel is which and which includes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Barn.
I ran into
it
that.
It started as just us two guys.
I don't know why that popped up.
And he owns a lot across the road also, that larger one, the other brother.
His brother.
The brother does.
Right.
Is that a separate lot or is it part of that lot?
Well, it's contiguous, so it's by the state. It's one. Correct.
Not necessarily. It was a road.
It's a public road across the middle.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if there are separate deeds for that.
All right. Well,
right. But I know this is Michael's and his wife Norma, and this is Tom. And
you've confirmed that it's just that lot.
Right. Right. Yes. Yep.
And the septic system for the other Sigali brother is a behind the garage.
Okay.
Right over there.
It's up there. Huh? Yeah. Interesting.
They got a brand new mound system up there.
Ah.
Which really, before it was, they really needed to go up there.
Yeah, they don't have any other option.
No, no. Well, it was there.
That's right, right.
It was there.
And this is a true four-bedroom house there.
Hmm. All right.
That certainly makes whether they are two separate deeded lots or not almost not matter anymore. If their septic is over there,
yeah,
might as well be one piece of property.
Yeah. Well, that's right. They pump across North Shore Road.
Aren't going to undo that.
No, no. No, no, no. They wouldn't want to sell it.
Or, no.
Right.
All right. Any further comments, questions? I will motion to adjourn to a deliberative session at this time. And
second.
We'll see what we think.
Okay.
Thank you, Jules.
All right.
Thank you for bringing that.
Yeah.
Helpful.
Yeah.